Welcome back, and let us pray with Scripture on this beautiful day. Thank you, God, for another day of life. Thank you for my state in life, my single life here. Thank you for all the catechetical work and everything that you're doing to evangelize others through our digital missionary work, for we are digital missionaries, and even the Vatican just acknowledged all of our work at its Jubilee of Digital Missionaries today. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. First, let's pray for the Holy Father's monthly intentions. Let us pray that we might again learn how to discern, to know how to choose paths of life and reject everything that leads us away from Christ and the Gospel. Let's pray for the soul in purgatory by asking for the Church's blessing and plenary indulgence. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners. Spread the effective grace of thy flame of love over all of humanity, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Thank you for hearing my prayer, O Lord. Thank you for caring about us even when you don't hear our prayers. Eagerly we await the fulfillment of our hope, the glorious coming of our Savior. Psalm 62. In God alone is my soul at rest, my help comes from Him. He alone is my rock, my stronghold, my fortress, I stand firm. How long will you all attack one man, to break him down as though he were a tottering wall or a tumbling fence? Their plan is only to destroy, they take pleasure in lies. With their mouth they utter blessing, but in their heart they curse. In God alone be at rest, my soul, for my hope comes from Him. He alone is my rock, my stronghold, my fortress, I stand firm. In God is my safety and glory, the rock of my strength. Take refuge in God, all you people. Trust Him at all times. Pour out your hearts before Him, for God is our refuge. Common folk are only a breath, great men an illusion. Placed in the scales, they rise, they weigh less than a breath. Do not put your trust in oppression, nor vain hopes on plunder. Do not set your heart on riches, even when they increase. For God has said only one thing, only two do I know, that to God alone belongs power, and to you, Lord, love, and that you may repay each man according to his deeds. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Eagerly we await the fulfillment of our hope, the glorious coming of our Savior. And then we're going to bring for our shortened divine office our first reading from the second letter of the Apostle Paul to the Corinthians, and our prayer for the verses, give me insight, Lord, to know your will, then I will cherish it with all my heart. Paul requests a collection for the relief of Jerusalem. Brothers, I should like you to know of the grace of God conferred on the churches of Macedonia. In the midst of severe trial, their overflowing joy and deep poverty have produced an abundant generosity, according to their means. Indeed, I can testify even beyond their means. And voluntarily, they begged us insistently for the favor of sharing in this service to the members of the church. Beyond our hopes, they first gave themselves to God and then to us by the will of God. That is why I have exhorted Titus, who has already begun this work of charity among you, to bring it to successful completion. That just as you are rich in every respect, in faith and discourse, in knowledge, in total concern, in the love we bear you, so may you abound in this charity. I am not giving an order, but simply testing your generous love against the concern which others show. You are well acquainted with the favor shown you by our Lord Jesus Christ, how for your sake he made himself poor, though he was rich, so that you might become rich by his poverty. I am about to give you some advice on this matter of rich and poor. It will help you who began this good work last year not only to carry it through, but to do so willingly. Carry it through now to a successful completion so that your ready resolve may be matched by giving according to your means. The willingness to give should accord with one's means, not go beyond them. The relief of others ought not to impoverish you. There should be a certain equality. Your plenty at the present time should supply their need, so that their surplus may one day supply your want. With equality as a result, it is written, he who gathered much had no excess, and he who gathered little had no lack. Thanks be to God who has put an equal zeal for you in the heart of Titus. Not only did he welcome our appeal, but being very eager, he has gone to you freely. We have sent along with him that brother, whom all the churches praise for his preaching of the gospel. He has been appointed our traveling companion by the churches, as we willingly carry on this work of charity for the glory of the Lord. There is one thing I wish to avoid, namely any blame over my handling of this generous collection. We are concerned not only for God's approval, but also for the good esteem of men. We have sent along with the brother, that brother whose eagerness has been proved to us in many ways. We have sent along that brother whose eagerness has been approved to us in many ways, has been proved to us in many ways. He is now more eager than ever for this work because of his great trust in you. As for Titus, he is my companion and fellow worker in your behalf. Our brothers, too, are apostles of the churches, the glory of Christ. Therefore, show these men the proof of your love and why we boast about you for all the churches to see. Responsory prayer. You are well aware of the generosity of our Lord Jesus Christ. Although he was rich, he became poor for your sake, so that through his poverty you might become rich. He emptied himself, assuming the condition of a slave, so that through his poverty you might become rich. Second reading from the Second Vatican Council's Dogmatic Constitution on the Church. The Church's visible society includes a mystical relationship with Christ. But those who refuse to remain within the Church cannot be saved. All men are called to be part of this Catholic unity of the people of God, which in promoting universal peace presages it, and there belong to or are related to it in various ways the Catholic faithful, all who believe in Christ, and indeed the whole of mankind. For all men are called by the grace of God to salvation. This sacred council wishes to turn its attention firstly to the Catholic faithful. Basing itself upon sacred scripture and tradition, it teaches that the Church, now sojourning on earth as an exile, is necessary for salvation. Christ, present to us in his body, which is the Church, is the one mediator and the unique way of salvation. In explicit terms, he himself affirmed the necessity of faith in baptism, and thereby affirmed also the necessity of the Church. For through baptism, as through a door, men enter the Church. Whosoever, therefore, knowing that the Catholic Church was made necessary by Christ, would refuse to enter or to remain in it, could not be saved. They are fully incorporated into the society of the Church who, possessing the Spirit of Christ, accept her entire system and all the means of salvation given to her, and are united with her as part of her visible bodily structure, and through her with Christ, who rules her through the Supreme Pontiff and the bishops. The bonds which bind men to the church in a visible way are the profession of faith, the sacraments, and the ecclesiastical government and communion. He is not saved who, however, though part of the body of the church, does not persevere in charity. He remains indeed in the bosom of the church, but as it were only in a bodily manner, and not in his heart. All the church's children should remember that their exalted status is to be attributed not to their own merits, but to the special grace of Christ. If they fail, moreover, to respond to that grace, in thought, word, and deed, not only shall they not be saved, but they will be the more severely judged. Catechumens who, moved by the Holy Spirit, seek with explicit intention to be incorporated into the church, are by that very intention joined with her. With love and solicitude, Mother Church already embraces them as her own. The Church recognizes that in many ways she is linked with those who, being baptized, are honored with the name of Christian, though they do not profess the faith in its entirety, or do not preserve unity of communion with the successor of Peter. For there are many who honor sacred scripture, taking it as the norm of belief and a pattern of life, and who show a sincere zeal. They lovingly believe in God, the Almighty Father, and in Christ, the Son of God and Savior. They are consecrated by baptism, in which they are united with Christ. They also recognize and accept other sacraments within their own churches or ecclesiastical communions. Many of them rejoice in the episcopate, celebrate the Holy Eucharist, and cultivate devotion toward the Virgin Mother of God. They also share with us in prayer and other spiritual benefits. Likewise, we can say that in some real way they are joined with us in the Holy Spirit. For to them too he gives his gifts and graces, whereby he is operative among them with his sanctifying power. Some indeed he has strengthened to the extent of the shedding of their blood. In all of Christ's disciples, the Spirit arouses the desire to be peacefully united in the manner determined by Christ as one flock under one shepherd, and he prompts them to pursue this end. Mother Church never ceases to pray, hope, and work that this may come about. She exhorts her children to purification and renewal so that the sign of Christ may shine more brightly over the face of the earth. ... Nor is God far distant from those who in shadows and images seek the unknown God. For it is he who gives to all men life and breath and all things, and as Savior wills that all men be saved. Those who can attain to salvation, who, through no fault of their own, do not know the gospel of Christ or his church, yet sincerely seek and, moved by grace, strive by their deeds to do his will as it is known to them through the dictates of conscience. Nor does divine providence deny the helps necessary for salvation to those who, without blame on their part, have not yet arrived at an explicit knowledge of God, and with his grace strive to live a good life. Whatever good or truth is found amongst them is looked upon by the Church as a preparation for the gospel. She knows that it is given by him who enlightens all men, so that they may finally have life. But often men, deceived by the evil one, have become vain in their reasonings, and have exchanged the truth of God for a lie, serving the creature rather than the Creator. Or some, there are who, living and dying in this world without God, are exposed to final despair. Wherefore, to promote the glory of God and procure the salvation of all these, and mindful of the command of the Lord, preach the gospel to every creature, the Church fosters the missions with care and attention. As the Son was sent by the Father, so he too sent the apostles, saying, Go therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you all days, even to the consummation of the world. The Church has received this solemn mandate of Christ to proclaim the saving truth from the apostles and must carry it out to the very ends of the earth. Wherefore she makes the words of the apostle her own. Woe to me if I do not preach the gospel, at such time as the infant churches are fully established and can themselves continue the work of evangelizing. For the church is compelled by the Holy Spirit to do her part, that God's plan may be fully realized, whereby he has constituted Christ as the source of salvation for the whole world. By the proclamation of the gospel, she prepares her hearers to receive and profess the faith. She gives them the dispositions necessary for baptism, snatches them from the slavery of error and idols, and incorporates them in Christ, so that through charity they may grow up into full maturity in Christ. Through her work, whatever good is in the minds and hearts of men, whatever good lies latent in the religious practices and cultures of diverse peoples, it is not only saved from destruction, but is also cleansed, raised up and perfected unto the glory of God, the confusion of the devil, and the happiness of man. The obligation of spreading the faith is imposed on every disciple of Christ, according to his state. Although, however, all the faithful can baptize, the priest alone can complete the building up of the body of the in the Eucharistic sacrifice. Thus are fulfilled the words of God, spoken through his prophet. From the rising of the sun until the going down, thereof my name is great among the Gentiles, and in every place a clean oblation is sacrificed and offered up in my name. In this way the church both prays and labors in order that the whole world may become the people of God, the body of the Lord and the temple of the Holy Spirit. That is, in Christ, the head of all, honor and glory may be rendered to the Creator and Father of the universe. Responsory prayer. Be compassionate as your Father is compassionate. Forgive and you will be forgiven. Give to others and you will receive. Blessed are the merciful, they shall obtain mercy. Forgive and you will be forgiven. Give to others and you will receive. So we celebrate this happy divine office, and I want to teach you a few new prayers. In our office, we often keep our little office book of prayers. We keep my prayer cards now, which I'm increasingly relying on. As I get older, I find it's harder to use online resources for prayer without getting distracted. First off, we have a modified examen for people active in catechetical ministry and also in any apostle, written by Father Timothy Gallagher, OMB. First, we have some things. Gratitude, petition, review, contrition, and renewal are the parts, and each part offers a desire to God, and in the other column there's a question. What am I thinking? Gratitude. Make a simple prayer thanking God, for instance, for loving you, and then begin to become mindful of what specifically happened during your day. Mentally review your day and ask yourself, what am I thankful for today? Help me to know how to love you. Petition. I ask God for the insight and the strength that will make this examine a work of grace, fruitful beyond my human capacity alone. That's just an example. It doesn't have to be something you repeat each time. But as you move forward in your mindfulness of what happened, of where God's Holy Spirit may have prompted you, or maybe you were reminded of something, you make a petition. And the question on the other side is, am I willing to be open to you now? So again, we're moving forward to considering mindful of where God was. What is God asking of me now? During the petition. And then even more mindfulness is in the review. I do love you. It's all about mindfulness. And the example is, I do love you even if I failed to express it at times today. I look for stirrings in my heart. So again, kind of think through, was I upset today? Was I having experiences of being upset, being joyful, being happy? What made me happy? Reflect on why I may have felt that way this day. Think about the understandings or the wisdom insights that God may have given you today, and maybe write them down in your journal. Write down perhaps what you think God may be verbalizing, was saying to you. Maybe try to verbalize what God is saying to you in your heart. And the question on the other side of review is, how did I love you today? Who did you give me to love today? What did I love today? That's a very rich moment. And if you do this, you will, everything will get better, okay? Just try it. Almost everyone can benefit from this, from doing this simple thing. It doesn't have to be long. You can make it shorter if you want to. Contrition, I'm sorry. Touch me with your merciful love. I ask for the healing touch of the forgiving God who, with love and respect for me, removes my heart's burdens. What do I regret in failing to love you today? Be with me still. Love me in the evening and in my next day. I look to tomorrow and with God plan concretely how to live it faithfully. How will I live in this next day in accord with God's loving desire for my life? So kind of plan and make some ideas or resolutions. So that's the kind of simplified or less formal examine that Father Gallagher promotes for ordinary people. God, our Father and Protector, without you nothing is holy, nothing has value. Guide us to everlasting life by helping us to use wisely the blessings you have given to the world. We ask this through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever. Amen. God, O God, Protector of those who hope in you, without whom nothing has firm foundation, nothing is holy, bestow in abundance your mercy upon us and grant that, with you as our ruler and guide, we may use the good things that pass in such a way as to hold firm even now to those that endure forever. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever. Amen. So again, that's why the Second Vatican Council was called by one of our popes the great catechism of our times. You could see that this essay that they wrote was extremely involved and detailed, but it also touched on our real life, catechetical life. It unpacked this meaning of what it means to be the body of Christ, the temple of the Holy Spirit, what it means to be a visible society of persons organized around shepherds, who, through whom Christ governs, through the bishop and the pope. So again, there's a lot to that, but you can see some of it on our website. We also have this short prayer that we're going to start praying as often as we can leading up to the great canonization. So I believe there's more than one important canonization that we get to celebrate in the next few months, but the main one is this one. In Carlo Acutis' canonization, I and all the others who have done online apostolate will be raised up to an official status and greatly honored. Also, we expect his canonization to mark a time in which heaven smiles upon our youth and converts them. O God, our Father, thank you for giving us Carlo, a model of life for young people and a message of love for all. You made him fall in love with your Son Jesus, making the Eucharist his highway to heaven. You have given him Mary as a very beloved mother. And you made him, with her rosary, become a singer of her tenderness. She welcomes his intercession for us. He looks above all at the poor whom he loved and helped. Grant me also, through his intercession, the grace I need most, and mention the grace here. And make our joy full, leading Carlo among the saints of the universal church, so that his smile continues to shine on us and for the glory of your name. May Almighty God grant the plenary indulgence to your soul in purgatory and help us all according to his will. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.